Hello, everyone. Welcome to yet another episode of the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Kresnick, and I'm here with pastors Bob Thune and Dusty White of Coram Deo Church. And every Wednesday, we sit down and talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today, we're talking about a few of our favorite things.
Few of our favorite things.
Oh, that
sing
was nice.
It. Do you like that?
That was nice.
I will only sing into a microphone on a podcast.
A listener teed this one up for us and said, hey, I'd just like to get to know more about you guys in terms of like, okay, when you're not talking about theological topics or cultural topics or whatever, let's just talk about like some just basic, what do you do in life kind of stuff. And so we thought, hey, that's not a bad topic. I like knowing the people that I'm listening to a little bit.
They're human.
They're human.
Yeah.
They have likes and dislikes. They have things they do in their spare time, etc. So listeners, if there's other favorite things you'd like us to talk about, you can feel free to kick us an email and we'll answer them. But we just came up with a list of some of the questions we'd like to know from each other. Here's the first one I'd like to know, Mike and Dusty and Chris, who's not here.
Oh, Chris.
So we don't get to hear any of Chris's favorites. We'll have a future episode where Chris talks about his favorite things. What is your favorite aspect of your job?
Yeah. My favorite aspect of working at Coram Deo Church is the people I work with. I'm not just saying that.
Is that because we're right here right now?
Nope. So last week we talked about my sabbatical, and one of the questions I asked myself was, what do I love about what I do? And it had nothing to do with what I do, actually. It was like, I really enjoy the people I work with. I consider them friends, co-laborers, not just people I work with. And so I appreciate the family feel, the camaraderie that I feel with the people on staff and their families, and it makes the hard parts of ministry worth it.
Yeah, that's true. That's good. I think the favorite aspect of my job is being present when the Holy Spirit helps people understand what the Lord is actually doing in their life.
That's good.
Here's what I mean. And I've said this before, and I'll probably say it forever. I sometimes feel like I'm cheating in this job because I have a front row seat to what God's doing anyway. And being there to either ask a question or help somebody reflect or help them get a layer deeper under what they actually think is going on to consider what might actually be going on is just a really beautiful aspect of this particular role that I have in ministry. So I just love it. I love helping the lights come on, if you will, in people's life and just watching the Spirit do work. It's a beautiful thing. I feel like the Lord has gifted me for it. But even then, it's just even through the giftingness or the giftedness, and even through just being there, it just feels like, man, this is a job. Like, those are the moments where I'm like, this can't be a job. Is this really, like, I feel like I'm cheating right now. So that's just the beautiful part.
Those are both really good answers. I think I don't have anything better than that.
Come on.
I like both of those aspects of my job. I like the people that I do it with, and I like seeing the Holy Spirit bring clarity to folks.
And you like refinement, though.
I do.
Don't you like, isn't one of the favorite things, Bob, look, we're asking questions right now. Isn't one of the
tell
favorite,
me what my
isn't
favorite
one of the,
thing
isn't
is.
Isn't one of your favorite things that brings you life just like refining the church, refining ministry?
Yeah, Walker used coaching. To say I have the spiritual gift of editing.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what editors do. They just refine stuff. They just take words and make them even better and tighter. So, yeah, I think if I had to answer what's my favorite thing about my job, I'd answer it 100 different ways on 100 different days. But a big part of it is preaching, obviously. And for me, that it's the creative side of that. It's figuring out how to communicate things in ways that connect to people and that awaken them to who Christ is. You know, one of my favorite things is there's just lots of people in our church who have stories of like, man, during this sermon, I got converted, or God did something meaningful in my life, and I can remember the text and what the sermon was about, and that's just really enjoyable to have that happen and to realize, man, God's using that. The funny thing is, I actually sometimes I hate preaching because it's a lot of work, and I just don't think I'm ever as good at it as I would like to be. But in spite of that, I do enjoy the sort of work and labor of doing it.
Last week we talked about rest. and Sabbath and all those things.
Mm-hmm.
What's your guys' favorite form of rest?
I have two. One is home renovation projects. Unsurprising. I like, you know, working with my hands.
Yeah.
So getting dirty, doing something around the house or even around Dusty's house or around your house. I mean, you know, don't everybody email me and ask me to come help you with stuff. But
Bob's not good at doing tile.
Bob's remodeling.
He's not good at any of that stuff.
So that's one form of rest. The other one for me is actually writing. And what I mean by that is just like, I don't do it as frequently as I should, but one of the most restful things for me is just like when I can sit at a coffee shop somewhere for a few hours and try to articulate something that I'm not on a deadline for. It's not related to my job. It's not like I'm writing a position paper for Quorum Deo or some aspect of the vision of the church. It's just like thinking about and trying to articulate, you know, like a blog post or something that meaningful that's going on where I just want to sort of like express something. That's actually really fun for me. And that usually involves reading and thinking. And so just that sort of intellectual discipline of taking an idea and working on it for a while is really restful.
My favorite form of rest, at least right now in the season that I'm at, with young kids at home and then ministry things going on, is to hop on my motorcycle and ride it to wherever. And
yeah.
And what I mean by that is like, so lately I've been combining days of solitude and study with riding my motorcycle. So I'll ride my motorcycle half hour away.
It's a very
manly
thing to do.
I'll like ride it a half hour away to this place in Iowa. And it's this burger joint, and it like literally nobody will be there, you know, like two or three people. And so I don't have to talk to them. I don't interact with them much. I don't know them.
Plus you ride a motorcycle, so they probably think you're scary.
Yeah, they think I'm like intimidated. And I'll read, write, journal, and get back on it and go. And what's beautiful about that is, you know, it's just you and you can't talk on the phone. Nobody,
yeah.
No,
somebody can't text call anyone.
You. Somebody can call you, but you can't answer, you know? So that right now is, at least this summer, is a really fun thing to do.
Over the last few months, I've kind of dove into fiction, reading some fiction. So I've really enjoyed that. It's been really restful. It engages a different part of my mind and my soul than a good theology book does or a good practical ministry book. And so things like the book Gilead and comic books and things like that kind of just help me rest a little bit differently than other books and things like that too.
All right. Favorite season of the year. What is it?
This is a no-brainer.
Oh gosh, I know what yours is. Yeah. Why did I ask this question?
The time of year between October 31st and December 31st.
Yeah,
that's
boy.
My favorite time.
Which
of
is
year.
All Christmas for Mike, yeah. Even though it includes Thanksgiving.
It's a mixture due to the falling leaves and the cooler weather and the anticipation of Christmas. Yes, the whole season.
And just the fight in you to make sure everybody knows that Christmas goes for half the year.
Yeah.
Well, come on.
Mike's really adamant about the fact that Christmas does not end after December 25th,
it does
people.
Not.
Do the listeners know that on Halloween you start putting up Christmas lights?
You got to get them up before the snow.
That's right.
Yeah. Mike, our office gets decorated for Christmas like November 1.
Christmas
every year.
Yep.
So, yeah.
My favorite season of the year, I think, is winter.
Yes.
And that's weird because I know that
you're
a lot of
right
people
place.
Get depressed, and seasonal depression is a real thing for a lot of people. It's not for me. And here's why. I don't think I knew that until I lived in California. And then winter in California, at least in the Bay Area, was just like rain. And I'm like... For 3 years there, I'm like, well, if it's going to rain and just be cloudy and gloomy like we all live in Seattle, I'd much rather have snow, you know? So when we moved back to Omaha, we moved back in December. We're outside every snow, just playing in the snow with our kids. And right now I like winter because it, like, when you just can't drive in the snow, it's like the Lord's way of forcing you to slow down and just hunker down. And I just like that. I just like it. Mm-hmm. Winter's cool.
I like all seasons. I know you're giving me that. Mike's looking at me over the top of his glasses right now. but my favorite is spring. And I think it's just because, like, you know, winter gets so long. Yeah. By the time winter is like you go through all the holidays, which is the fun part of it, Mike. It's like there's a lot of joy around the holiday season, and you got Thanksgiving, you got Christmas, and you got New Year's, and you know, even getting into like I even love St. Patrick's Day, you know, in March. But like honestly, by the time we hit St. Patrick's Day, sometimes it's like, holy cow, it's still like 35 degrees outside, yeah, and I'm going to lose my mind. And so when spring actually hits, I'm just like, oh, praise the Lord, I can take a walk. I can take off my coat. It's just it's like a rebirth every year.
Yeah. And where we're at, spring isn't actually until like the end of April.
Yeah, exactly. Well, don't say that.
Weather-wise.
Then all the listeners will be like, well, I'm never moving there.
I mean, it feels that way climate-wise.
Well, it varies from year to year. But yeah, there's sometimes where you get like a foot of snow on May 1, and you're like, what in the world? You know,
school canceled.
Just dumb.
So with the seasons of the year, what are your guys' favorite traditions that you do? It might be holiday tradition. It might be summer vacation. What traditions do you have that you like?
One of the traditions that we have is upon our kids' birthdays, JC and I do our best to always spend time just with that particular kid. Used to be just taking that kid out to breakfast, which was pretty unique. And any time that we can spend, when JC and I are together with one of our children, mm-hmm, it's just a really special time. So that's one of our traditions on birthdays, to try to do that. We don't kill it at this. We're not 100%, but man, every time we do get to, I'm always like, man, I'm really glad we're doing that. And we try to hold true to it.
Now that you're saying that, I'm realizing how bad I am at actually keeping traditions. Because I'm like, well, I've started some, and then
just
I kind of
means you're not a legalist.
It kind of fell off. Right. Yeah, exactly. That's it. Thank you. I'm living in grace.
Yes.
But yeah, there's a lot that for us have revolved around the holidays. So every December, I read my kids Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol, the book. There's something about Dickens and his language and just the way he sort of captures the character of Ebenezer Scrooge, and just that story is compelling. Even when my kids were really, really little, they were just hooked by that story. So that was a fun one. Now that they're older, I think I still did it last year, like read it out loud, and it was like, you know, they're all sitting around like, really, we're doing this? I was like, heck yeah, this is our tradition.
sit down,
kids. Another one that's been really meaningful over the years is Pancake Day at our house Saturday mornings. Mm, yeah. Every Saturday morning for over a decade, I make the family pancakes, the kids just roll out of bed and just come upstairs in their pajamas or whatever, and we eat pancakes. And that's been something that at various times we've just like pulled people from our gospel community into and invited people over and just like, you know, just sort of like bringing them into that little ritual. But because Saturday tends to be a day where not everybody's run out the door first thing in the morning, it's a pattern that has persisted, and it's been really fun for our family.
Yeah, I really enjoy over the last couple of years going camping with the family, tent camping over Memorial Day weekend. We do it with some other family members, and that's been really fun. We have a ton of traditions around the holiday season, like Christmas and Thanksgiving and stuff like that, but the one that sticks out to me as we're talking today is just camping and kind of roughing it a little bit and teaching the kids that comfort or discomfort is okay every once in a while. So,
all right, I got a twofer for you guys. This is AB, part A, part B. Favorite Bible character and favorite Christian dead guy from history. Can't be the same. Has to be different.
Favorite Bible character, Samson.
Yeah, boy.
He defeated the Philistines with the jawbone of an ass.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Watch your mouth.
Could you watch your mouth, please?
And I loved him so much that I named my flag football team, my intramural flag football team in college, Samson's Vengeance.
Oh, I thought you were going to say like jawbone.
No. Our defense was called the jawbone.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I knew it.
We wore black and we had mouth guards and it was intense. Wow. It was awesome. Eye black and everything. It was it was amazing.
Jawbone.
Yeah. We would just yell jawbone and it would freak people out.
I'm scared right now.
My favorite Christian dead guy. Well, I named my son Calvin Lemuel, which John Calvin, and then Lemuel Haynes, who was a African-American pastor during the Revolutionary War time. So both of those guys have inspired me at times so much that I named my son after him.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Peter, mostly because I relate to his high highs and low lows, mm-hmm, and his flakiness, yeah, and yet his commitments. And so whenever I read about Peter or I read other Bible characters talking about Peter, I'm like, oh, I get that guy. Mm-hmm. Or he gets me, rather. My favorite dead guy is David Brainerd.
Oh yeah.
Missionary to Indians.
Died super young, right?
Died at 29 yeah. in Jonathan Edwards' home.
Yeah.
And the reason why he's my favorite dead guy is because Jonathan Edwards condensed his diary, and it's super inspiring to me. It's available in book form, The Life and Diary of David Brainerd. And there's just these short snippets of his reality of Christian ministry, riding horseback, trying to minister in some really tough culture and soil, not having a lot of fruit. And so whenever I'm feeling not very fruitful or just like, what am I doing with my life? I will grab David Brainerd. It's on my bedside, and I'll just let Brainerd kick me in the teeth a little bit. And I'm like, yep, see, my life's fine. So that book, and then probably that Tozer. Bar. Hey, I just slid in a second one. A.W. Tozer,
you guys both
same
did
way.
That. You're sliding in extra people. Yeah. I like that. All right, Tozer's good. Favorite Bible character, probably David. You know, obviously, as the prototypical king of the Old Testament, a very flawed character in many ways, and yet a man after God's own heart. Just really like how much we learn from David's whole story and his whole narrative. And I like going Old Testament on that question. Yeah. I was going to say Jesus, but I figured that you wouldn't let me say.
Cliche. Yeah.
You knew that was a
favorite Bible character besides Jesus, obviously. All right. Hard to pick a favorite dead guy. And you guys both picked two, so I'm going to pick two. St. Augustine is my first one.
Oh, man. That's a good draft pick.
Old school. Credit. Yeah, that's like back in the early church. And if you've read Augustine's Confessions, you'll know why he's one of my favorites. I think he's the fountainhead of the best theology in the history of the Western Church, and a man who wrestled deeply with his own sin and his own struggles and his own walk to Christ and his conversion. And so, but to go off yours, Mike, I named my son Lewis Vance Calvin Thune. After C.S. Lewis and John Calvin, but I'd pick Calvin if I had to pick between the two, just because for me, John Calvin has been such a rich repository of thought. If you've never read Calvin's Institutes, you should put that on your list. It's a large book, and so it'll take some time and diligence to get through it, but I think I had a caricature of who Calvin was because I just knew Calvinists who are never as fun as Calvin. Like Calvinists are usually a pain in the butt. And then I was like, well, they must like John Calvin, so he must be an idiot. And then when I started reading Calvin, I realized, oh man, this guy is amazing. Like just amazing.
So he doesn't just talk about limited atonement.
Oh my gosh. He's, you know, everybody who writes on Calvin says he's really, a better thing would be to call him the church's primary theologian of the Holy Spirit, because he's just, he has such a rich pneumatology. He's so focused on the work of the Holy Spirit. And for that reason, that really surprised me when I read Calvin, just understanding the centrality of the Word of God in Calvin's thinking and the centrality of the Holy Spirit. So.
All right, here's another one, guys. What's your favorite thing to do in the morning? Right out of the gate.
Work. No kidding.
Such a slave. Taskmaster.
What do you mean by that question, Mike? Like I just got out of bed, what do I do next? Or like I have a long morning with nothing
on the
calendar.
Yeah, not like go down and brush my teeth. But let's just say once you're dressed and ready, what's the first thing you do?
That's different than my favorite thing to do.
Okay. What's your favorite thing to do once you're dressed and ready? I'll tell you my favorite thing. I'll go first. So I get dressed like I'm getting ready to go out the door before I do anything. And so I like making a cup of coffee, making a French press of coffee, and sitting on my front or back porch. I have no rhyme or reason why, which one, but just sitting outside, drinking my cup of coffee, reading my Bible, starting my day out without the hurriedness of children waking up. And that's usually pretty early, 6 o'clock, 6:30 in the morning, I'm doing that. So that's my favorite thing to do.
That's good.
I can relate to that. That's actually my favorite thing to do. My day, my weeks go better if I'm the first one out of bed, meeting with the Lord, and if weather permits, on the deck, cup of coffee in hand, and just being quiet. And that's not even necessarily always the richest time for me spiritually, but it's consistent. So I like the consistency of it, and that's why it's probably some of my favorite stuff.
Yeah, I find a quiet space in the home in the winter because I'm not sitting out in the snow during
with Christmas lights, right?
Oh, yeah. Candles, Christmas lights, my easy chair, all that. Yeah.
That's my favorite thing to do every day. Okay, so I'm going to say the same thing.
Okay.
Meaning, I do think morning coffee is a certain kind of ritual. And I do the same thing and get up early and make coffee. And there's something about the way that sort of awakens the senses and sort of, I use that as well as a time of quiet and engaging with the Lord. So I guess we could all meet up sometime and just drink our coffee together.
Well, no, it wouldn't be as rich with you guys there, actually.
Also, the Daily Liturgy podcast key part of my morning ritual as well.
What are some of your favorite...
hold on a second. Do you listen to the weeks that you do the readings?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, and wow. That doesn't like...
It throws me off a little bit. Yeah. But I just like had to make peace with it. I either don't listen to that week or I do. So I'm gonna say let's do.
That's good.
It's like listening to your own sermon.
Yeah,
right? you just gotta get over it.
Yeah, it is what it is.
What are some of your besides the morning, what are some of your favorite like annual routines that you're involved with and doing?
For 12 years now, an Acts 29 pastor's retreat every summer, which is really refreshing to me. That has sort of morphed into what we call the Soul Brothers. So that's four friends of mine that we get together at least once a year in a really devoted and intentional way. So that's a beautiful rhythm for me every year. And then Days of Solitude, you know, have been part of my rhythm for over a decade as well. So just trying every 8 weeks or so, sometimes more, sometimes less, to get away for a day or two, go to the monastery, hang out with the monks, be really quiet and really alone. And just sort of cultivate space for my soul and for prayer, for thinking, for evaluating, for talking with the Lord about what's troubling me or what I'm trying to figure out or think through.
Every year to year and a half, me and some friends from my college days, from our Campus Crusade days, get together and we hang out. We go camping or we go spend time at the lake, or if it's winter out, we sit in a room that's heated by a wood-burning stove and we play board games and just kind of catch up, encourage one another. And it's just fun to see us all still pursuing the Lord, raising families, doing crazy things like being a teacher in foreign countries and doing just catching up and experiencing each other. And kind of like how we did in college, but we're much more grown up and further down the road.
Mature.
just a little bit more mature. A
little bit. One of my favorite things is every year I get together with a friend in Kansas City. And then every year my wife and I are stealing away some time to get together with other friends in other cities. So whether that's Kansas City or somewhere drivable usually. And there's something about, especially in ministry, staying connected to friends that are outside of your ministry context. This is very life-giving, very fruitful, where you're not their pastor, but it's good, rich friendship.
All right, last one, and then we'll circle back to this if listeners have other things they want to know about, favorite stuff. But so I'm not going to go favorite here because it flows like that puts too much pressure on it, but just what's another podcast besides this one that you've really been enjoying lately? So what else are you listening to that's sort of interesting to you?
First one off the top of my head is Cultivated by Mike Cosper. He brings in various artists and writers and people using their vocation for the glory of God. And so that's my favorite podcast to listen to right now.
I go in spurts and seasons with my podcast, right? Where I'm all in for a long time and I'll listen to every episode and then somebody will make me mad and I don't unsubscribe. I just don't listen to every episode. Right now, probably This American Life.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
There's, you're surprised. Why are you so surprised?
I don't know. Continue.
Well, it just keeps me, it feels like it's a foot outside of my normal context. And so it's informing me of, it feels like sometimes this world that I'm not a part of. And that's really helpful for me. So that's one of them.
I'm hesitant to say any because I'm just like, I don't know if I'm still going to like this like a month from now. You know, it's like I kind of like
go in spurts with podcasts as well, where I'm like, oh, I like this. You know, I do like Cultivated a lot. Of course, Mike's a friend and he does good work. So that podcast has been good. Two I've been listening to recently that I kind of like, but I can't say like, oh, this is still going to be on the list 6 months from now. It might not be. But one is that Sethany show. Seth and Bethany Mandel are two Jewish writers in New York, and they are interesting people to listen to. They're like millennials. They're both political hacks. They sort of write for like the New York Post and things like that. So they started this podcast in their living room where they just sit around and talk about whatever's on their minds. And I just sort of like getting inside other people's heads and just like, how do you see the world? And, you know, they're Jewish and sort of politically conservative and millennials and living in a different part of the country. And they're totally New York City people, you know? And so I've enjoyed listening to them. Another one that someone got me onto recently is Cross Politic, which is, I think, some guys up in Doug Wilson's church.
Really?
Or in that part of Idaho. Yeah.
You like that one? Wow.
Mike's upset.
You guys are you don't surprising like that one? Me all over the place. No, continue.
Well, Mike's like, you okay. Can continue.
You don't have to like my
want.
Same podcast. No, I really do like listening to people who are like sort of outside my tribe. You know, and sort of make me think in ways I'm like, oh, I wouldn't have thought about that way. So that's like, for me, it's not like I'm a fanboy of this podcast as much as what's going to spur me to think, what's going to challenge the way I see myself thinking, what's going to sort of evaluate, especially cultural topics and church topics through a different lens than I might normally think through. And so that's that for that reason, I've enjoyed that one recently. But again, I don't know if I'll like either of those still a few months from now. You know?
Don't hold us to it. Folks.
Yeah, don't be like, oh, you're like a a sponsor of that podcast. No, I'm not. I just those are what I like right now. So there you go. There's our favorite stuff for this podcast. Hope that helps you get to know the people behind the microphones a little bit. And if you have other sort of favorite type topics you'd like us to talk about, we'll do this every once in a while. Every few months, we might just lay down a podcast. It's just like, hey, what do you want to know about us? Let us know, and we'll talk about it.
The goal of the Wednesday Conversation podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in, and we pray that this conversation might be helpful to you as you minister in your own context. And like Bob said, we love to hear from listeners. So if you have thoughts, questions, concerns, future podcast topic ideas, shoot us an email, podcast@cdomaha.com. And we'll see you again next Wednesday for another Wednesday Conversation.